Happy Palm Sunday. Glad that you are here. I've never been told I didn't talk loud enough. That's the first time for that. I love seeing all these kids. Isn't that awesome? I counted, I think there was 2,000, I'm pretty sure. But if you're did not bring a basket, an Easter basket for your little one, we've got some sacks later. Here's what's going to happen after the service today. As soon as we're through with the service, we're going to go out here in this area, and it's really not an Easter egg hunt. It's kind of an Easter egg dash. But we'll, Carlene will set all that up, and she'll let you know. We're going to break it up into the small children and then the older children. This will be happening right out here right after church. Then we will have our covered dish luncheon. Now, while the egg hunt is going on, I encourage, I'll bless the food at the end of the service. I encourage the folks that don't have children hunting to go ahead and get started. In fact, if you are over 80, I won't make you raise your hand. I want us to honor our seniors today. Liz, did you bring your ID with you? You got your ID with you? Okay, somebody card Liz when she goes through. Make sure she's okay. But we want to honor her. Y'all go ahead and get started, and then the others right behind them. And then as soon as we're through with the hunt, then everybody else can go through. And then after the lunch, those if you're involved in the Living Last Supper, come in here. They're going to be doing some breaking down and getting ready for that. If you have not come to our Living Last Supper last year, or even if you did, you know that you want to come back. It's an awesome thing. As Billy said earlier, we're going to have that Wednesday night around 6:15 or so, and then again at 6 o'clock on Friday. So hope that you will come and be a part of that. They've been working really hard. If you are a visitor with us this morning, I want to especially welcome you. I've met a few of you. I wish that I could meet all of you, and that's my goal each time, but I know there's a lot of you out there today. There's a blue card in the seat in front of you. We encourage you and would love for you to fill one of those out and just leave it in your seat there when you are through. You don't have to do that. We're not gonna require that of you, but we would love to know that you are here and who you are. And there's a box on there if you want to be a part of our email group. You can check that box. Next week is Easter, and we are going to have two services next week. 8:30 service, no Sunday school. We're going to have a kind of a brunch, a breakfast time between the two services, and then our second service will be at our normal 10:30 time. Encourage you, the church is going to provide some muffins and pastries and drinks and all that stuff, but if you guys want to bring like some breakfast casseroles or something, I will be happy to consume that as well. So lots going on. I love this time of year. Easter, the Easter season is just a celebration. I think I got through all that I needed to get through. 1 John chapter 3. Now, I want to set this up just a second. Now, there's the Gospel of John. John was one of the 12 disciples. And I love this in his, he wrote the, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He wrote the Gospel of John, but he also wrote three letters that were found later in the New Testament, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So we're reading out of 1 John today, but what's interesting, I love the way John refers to himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Don't you love that? You know, we should be able to refer to ourselves in the same way. John was not saying that Jesus didn't love anybody else. John was just assured that Jesus loved him. And so John, we know from Scripture, we know that when Christ went to the cross, the other disciples scattered, scared to death, hiding in the bushes. John was at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother and others. And so this is the perspective. John was one of the three kind of the inside disciples that went along for a lot of the things when Jesus would just take a few. John was a part of that group. So we pick it up here, 1 John chapter 3, first half of verse 16. John says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of your word. And yet the depth of your word. We pray, oh God, that you would send your Holy Spirit. And not just, you have promised us, God, that the Holy Spirit is not just with us, but he's in us. Stir your Holy Spirit in us. Come and speak to us in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's message, This is What Love Is. This is what love is. Now, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, just so you know, I want you guys to know this, a couple of things. Every Sunday when we're worshiping, there is someone from our church. There's a prayer room on the front of our building. If you don't know about the prayer room, come see me and you can get in 24/7. There's someone in our prayer room praying that God would be moving in us and in this place. So that's the first thing. But about 2 or 3 weeks ago, our staff, we every Monday, we try to get together and we pray and as a staff. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago in that time, I made this statement. We were kind of talking about this Sunday today, all the details of this day and all. And this statement came out of my mouth. I said something to the effect of, you know, Palm Sunday is always such a contrast for me. I'm not quite sure how to feel about Palm Sunday because we have the joy of the children coming in and celebration of Hosanna and bringing the palm leaves and so forth. And I said, and then I always preach on the cross. It just seems like kind of a downer. And as those words were coming out of my mouth, I didn't even share this with the staff, but as those words were coming out of my mouth, God was convicting me that was a poor way to look at Palm Sunday. Because the cross was a violent place. It was a place where sin was dealt with, but it was also a loving place, full of joy. Christ, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says that Christ endured the cross. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And some people will say, well, that means he was looking forward to heaven. I was like, no, he's already been to heaven. You see, he was in heaven. He came down. He became flesh. He came down to dwell among us. So he had that. He could have stayed there. If that was the joy set before him, all he had to do was stay. But no, he came down and became flesh. The joy set before him was you and I reconciled to the Father. That was the joy, the love. So the cross is, yes, it's a violent place. It's a place where sin was dealt with once and for all. But I want us to talk a little bit more about the cross this morning. First thing, I want us to dive in a little deeper. The cross was intentionally embraced by Christ. Now, Billy didn't know what I was preaching on today, and he spoke of that in his prayer this morning. That, I don't know if you remember when the Passion of the Christ came out a few years ago, there was this big hoopla, you know, where the Jews and the Christians and all, there was this stuff, and it was in the press and it was online. It's like, well, the cross was so-and-so's fault. Well, the cross was so-and-so sent him to the cross. So-and-so did this. And I'm like, nobody sent Jesus to the cross. Christ went to the cross. He embraced. It was an intentional decision. He embraced the cross. Now listen to this. He, in Matthew 20, and I'm not going to read all these because I've listed them there for you, but I just want to kind of tell the story. In Matthew 20, in most of the Gospels is talking about as Jesus is preparing for that time in Jerusalem, he's telling the disciples, here's what's fixing to happen. He's not even in Jerusalem yet. All he has to do is stay out of Jerusalem, and he'd be fine. But he's saying, the Son of Man is going to go up to Jerusalem. He's going to be handed over to the Gentiles, and he's going to be betrayed. They're going to condemn him to death. He's going to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will raise to life. And next week, we get to celebrate that. But Jesus was telling them what was going to happen. The cross was an intentional decision by Christ. And then, the night before he's betrayed, and we'll celebrate this next week, Holy Communion. And he's sitting in the upper room the night. He knows that he's sitting around the table. He knows that all but John in this table will either, one will deny him, one will betray him, and the others will scatter like scared little sheep. And he's sitting there and he washes the disciples' feet and then he institutes this new covenant. And he says, he gives them the cup and he says, this is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood. And this is my broken body, broken for you. He's telling them what is fixing to happen. The cross was an intentionally embraced upon action by Christ. And then, just maybe moments away before the soldiers come to haul him off, he's in the garden and his disciples are sleeping. He's asked them to pray and they're sleeping and he's praying and he says this prayer and it says that his sweat became literally like drops of blood, and there's a hemotidrosis or something is the name of this condition. If you, under extreme and rare acts of stress, the blood capillaries will rupture and get in, mix in with the sweat glands, and you can literally sweat blood. It's a medical, look it up. It's a medical documented condition. He was so anxious about what was getting ready to happen, his sweat became like drops of blood, and he's speaking to God, and he says, Father, take this cup from me. He's saying, isn't there another way? Do you hear the love behind that question? Isn't there another way? Take this cup from me. And yet, the second half of that prayer is not my will, but yours be done. He intentionally embraced the cross. Second thing, the cross is the perfect revelation of love. Now, this is where I got in. I was convicted 2 or 3 weeks ago. 1 John 3:16, we just read today. This is how we know what love is. Did you ever want to know what love is? This is how we know. That's what God's Word is telling us. You want to know what love is? I'll tell you what love is. It's Jesus laying down his life for you. That's love. John 3:16, the actual gospel of John 3:16 says it this way. For God so loved, his motive was love. For God so loved that he gave. His action was a giving action. His motive was love. He gave his only son so that, and with a purpose, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. His motive was love. His action was a giving action, a surrendering action, and his purpose was so that you and I would have life. Is anybody, shake your head if that's good news to you this morning. Amen. This is how we know what love is. That Jesus laid down his life for us. Ephesians, Paul, the Apostle Paul, says it this way to the church in Ephesus. But because of his great love for us, there it is, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. The motive again is love. The purpose is life. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And grace, we've talked about this word before, but grace, just kind of a easy way to think of that, is receiving the blessing of what we do not deserve and what we cannot earn. That's grace. And I'll tell you, our churches in our nation are full of people trying to earn God's favor, trying to be good enough. And I want to tell you, that is totally contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fruit is we go and serve. The fruit is our goodness, where we bring glory to God through our actions, but we don't find favor with God through our goodness. It's by grace. Through faith you've been saved. Third thing, the cross. Not only was it intentionally embraced by God, not only is it the perfect revelation of love, but it accomplished all that Christ intended for our sake. There's the purpose. For our sake. Now, I'm quoting now from the Gospel of John, John 19. And listen now, John that wrote this gospel, I want you to picture yourself. He's at the foot of the cross listening to the words that are spoken by Jesus as he's hanging on the cross. Are you hearing me? He's writing down words he's hearing spoken from the Lord as he's nailed to a cross. And here's what he documents. When Jesus had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. What's finished? He wasn't saying, "Well, it's finished, I'm fixed to die." That wasn't it. What he was saying is, "I've accomplished what I've set out to accomplish, the redemption of all mankind. I have paid the price that was owed to the Father." You see, and this goes back to the very heart of the gospel. The very heart of the gospel is, we are broken. We're messed up. If you're messed up like me, raise your hand. We're messed up. We come into this world broken. You know, you see the innocence. By the way, yesterday, I'm 1 week away from the due date where I'll be Papa. 1 week from yesterday. But guess what? Although that my grandchild will be the closest thing beside Jesus to perfection, I mean, it'll be a sliver. All it'll be. But that grandchild's going to come into the world broken, needing a solution to be reconciled with his or her Heavenly Father. It is finished. Christ had a purpose. He was accomplishing something on the cross. That's why he knew that he had to go. He chose to go. That's why he was praying so passionately in the garden. "Father, isn't there another way?" And I'm sure he heard from the Father, "No, this is the only way." And that's when he finished his prayer. Then let it be done. "Not my will, but yours be done." He had his eye on us when he was on the cross. Now, the title of the sermon today, as I've said, is "This is What Love Is." You know, our culture, man, anybody else just sometimes just get tired of reading the newspaper and watching the news. Sometimes I feel like my head's going to explode sometimes, the brokenness of our world. And our culture has these ideas of what love is. It's all over the place. Romantic love, this love, you know, it's like our eyes. Steve, will you be my model on this? Our eyes meet across the room. No, that's a bad. Cheryl, let's do it with Cheryl. Cheryl's not there. That was a bad example, Steve. But you're. The romantic love is what our culture feeds. It's like their eyes meet across the room. They embrace and they, you know, of course they have sex that night. And then they ride off into the sunset. You can say sex from the pulpit, can't you, Alice? They ride off into the sunset and they live happily ever after. That's not life. Love takes work. How many of you love your children every single moment of every single day? Sometimes you want to just kind of go, "Yeah, I love you." Love is messy. But no, our culture, it's, "Oh, I just love that person. I love their flowing flocks." That's what attracted Cheryl to me, was my flowing flock. Hey, I had them back in those days, man. Or it's this promiscuous sex. It's like love is, you know, you just watch, just go to Redbox and just start looking down through the selections in Redbox and see if we don't, if our culture is not putting this stuff in us. And we're into this, all this debate, you know, same-sex marriage, you know, well, hey, how can love be wrong? And all of this stuff that our culture is fighting over. It's like, guess what? All of it is this self-absorbed, feelings-based love. You want me to tell you what God says love is? God is, says this is love. Go ahead and show that slide, Alan. It is finished. Because I love you, it is finished. I have completed my mission out of a motive of my deep love for you. That's the heart of God. It's not this self-absorbed, emotional love that our culture wants to feed us. It's a sacrificial, selfless, costly love. It is finished. I have completed the task set before me. That's what Jesus was saying on the cross. It's his last words. John is sitting there and he hears it. It is finished. He bows his head and he leaves this earth three more days to rise. I'll tell you, I see it all the time when I talk to people from different backgrounds, unchurched, churched from this church. This pastor told me this. This pastor, we kind of have this image in our mind that God, if we're good, God blesses us, and if we're bad, God zaps us. And if we've got any of these different things in our life, any of this, that God can't approve of you. Somehow you're damaged goods. It is finished. You're not damaged goods anymore. Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying to you. It is finished. You're not damaged goods anymore. God has restored you. That's love. That's love. Who for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. You and I were the joy in his eye. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus laid down his life for us. If you bow your heads with me. Father, I know that there are some this morning that perhaps they don't fully understand what we're talking about. Holy Spirit, you convict. May your truth permeate our hearts. Jesus, forgive me for not fully understanding the cross, for thinking that somehow it was a downer from the joy of our children with the palm leaves. Even that ride into Jerusalem, Jesus, as they're shouting Hosanna and laying the palm leaves, you had us on your mind. You had the cross on your mind. Most loving act in all of human history. And you did it for us. And we celebrate that. The joy of this day, may that joy well up inside of us. May we be contagious with that joy. We have a message that this world needs. Show us when and how to share it. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Our praise team will come forward. As we close this morning, I'll pray a blessing over our food, and I've told you kind of what's going to happen after the service. If you didn't bring bags or baskets, Easter baskets for your children, please stay. We have sacks. If you didn't bring food to eat, we brought extra. We've got plenty of food, so please stay. If you are our guests, this is not for regular attendees only. This is for anyone that wants to stay. We'd love to have you stay. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I will be around for quite some time after the service today, also as we sing this closing song. Let's stand as we close.
More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you.
Father, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for this day, how you have blessed us and how you love us. Father, bless our food today as we fellowship and as we eat together. Bless the hands, the many hands who prepared the meal. Bless the children. Keep them safe, God, as they enjoy just this day. Father, may we share with the world the love that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. If Jesus has changed your life, tell somebody. God bless you.